What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and Kirk Cousins is a G in primetime. Hell of a Thursday
sure
night game.
Sure the hell was last night.
A lot of those Thursday night games end up kind of being stinkers. That one last night was not.
That was a good one.
I also want to let the boys know, good morning, Brian. How do you do?
What up?
Good morning, Landfill. We're all back together in studio. Well, I guess me, B, and Landfill are here. Jeff's walking around. Hello, Jeff. Jeff's back. How you doing, bud? Hold on. Now, B had the T-Stats HVAC hat yesterday, and what do you know? Now Jeff's got some
Jeff
swag.
Jeff got everything from T-Stats. Jeff went with me.
I was about to say this from the cookout.
He went with me.
Right. And did you gave him that, is my guess.
No. They gave it to him.
Okay.
You know, I don't wait too many of them.
For a musician and somebody as with as much audio talent as Jeff has, it's remarkable that he could be in this studio and just talking without a microphone near him. I want to tell the boys something off the top here. I was very prepared to buy lunch today. I bet the under in that ball game last night, and the over almost hit by halftime, so I will not be buying lunch today. I am poor today. That was, I like to think, even when I miss a bet.
Why would you bet? What was the under anyway?
44. They scored 60.
Yeah.
I like to think, even when I miss bets, I'm seeing the ball the right way, right? Like, all right, you know, it doesn't always break your way. Last night, I did not see the ball correctly, Brian.
All right. This old KS Jr. over here.
You know when...
He got it all figured out, Landfield.
I don't. I clearly do not. You know when, like, your boy is struggling to hit the ball off the tee, and he crushes one, but it goes three fairways right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, I made good contact. Like, I don't even have I made good contact out of this. I was on the wrong side of things.
I got you, though.
Hell of a game, though, man. I enjoyed
it. I enjoyed that game.
Did you? We were all texting last night. It was, the boys were the text thread was on fire. Did you happen to watch the baseball?
I kept getting updates, and then Pete Alonso just said, "Oh, okay, good night."
You know, I don't root for the Mets. I am happy for
anybody that beat them.
Well, I'm happy for a handful of friends of mine that are Mets fans, but I do not root for the Mets. Can you pull them up? I don't have VX. Here's what I'd like to do, though. We are not going to waste time because the governor of the great state of Maryland is on the line. Wes Moore here to make his weekly NFL picks. Hello, Gov. How you doing, man?
What's going on? What's going on, guys?
We good, man.
Did you watch that game last night?
Well, I watched part of it. And I'm not a Falcons fan, but Kirk Cousins, he pulled that thing out at the end, didn't he?
He balled, brother. He was balling that night.
He pulled that thing out.
There were so many curious decisions in that game. It all ended up working out, but it was a bizarre one. What do you think Atlanta can actually be something down the stretch here?
No. I think these are both mid-level teams that played mid-level football. And one of them might be lucky enough to make the playoffs, and both of them will be eliminated in the first round. Neither one are legit Super Bowl contenders. But it was a, you know, even when you're watching mid-level teams play against each other, it's entertaining. But yeah. Neither one are we gonna see them in January.
Gov, I keep telling you this. You know, I've heard Georgia's an important state too. One of these days, you're gonna have to start being kinder to all these other teams.
Nah, I am who I am. I can't be something I'm not. And these teams, I'm not fans of them. So
I love
you know
it.
What? It's all good. It's all good.
I love it. I love it. Obviously, we can get started here. I got you at 10-10 on the year. It's been a funky year. Vegas is getting super rich. So being even through 4 weeks is honestly pretty darn good. I was just telling B-Mitch, Governor, I had the under in that game last night. It was 44 points, and they scored 60. So it didn't go great for me either.
I know. But wait a second. But 10-10, does that include last week? I went 4-1 last week.
I'll have to double check.
Governor, he's not good with math.
I'm about to say you gotta check your math, man. Check the scoreboard.
All right, you're right, dude. I'm looking now. 12-9. I take it all back. 12-9.
Sometimes you gotta ask people to check their math, man.
Especially this dude.
Yeah. Of all the people that should be in charge of keeping track of this, I am very low on the list. Let's start with your squad. Ravens going to Cincy. Ravens, Bengals. Tricky game.
Yeah, actually, I don't think it's that tricky. I mean, you know, listen, I think the Ravens have come back and just found the mo again. And, you know, the first couple weeks were tough. But if you look at not just the fact that they've won the last 2 weeks, but that we've won decisively and we won the Ravens' way, I think it says a lot. And I think one thing we're finally figuring out is what to do with Derrick Henry. And I think one thing that the league has not figured out is how to deal with Derrick Henry. And so I think that, you know, especially when you're seeing that the Bengals continue to be one of the most inconsistent teams inside of football, you don't know what team you're going to get each week. I think we're going to be okay on this. And I think the Ravens end up beating the Bengals.
That's good. I mean, how much did you enjoy the Sunday night game against the Bills? The Ravens decided to remind the world how good they are.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and honestly, it's you know, and a lot of it goes back to game plan. You know what I mean? And so they had the right game plan. The right game plan was, you know, punch him in the mouth fast and give Derrick Henry the ball. And literally the first time he touches the ball, he goes for 87 yards. By the end of the third series, he already was close to 200 yards. I mean, like, it's actually crazy what the kind of numbers he was pulling together. And the Bills did not have an answer. And the Bills, it's not like they have a bad defense. Their defense is actually pretty decent. But you don't have what is the answer for Derrick Henry when he's clicking and the game plan is right? So it was a beautiful game. And again, I think it just showed, you know, there were a couple people who had just like show-off games over the past couple weeks, Jaden Daniels being one of them, by the way.
Sure.
But Derrick Henry is another one. He had a show-off game last week.
Yeah, I mean, to be his size and speed, and frankly, to have as many NFL carries on his belt as he does, and to break a 90-yarder is just bananas.
It's crazy.
It was so cool
it's
to
crazy.
Watch.
I mean, you were literally watching safeties and cornerbacks trying to catch him. Like, the people
they couldn't catch him.
We're talking about a huge man here.
It's crazy. All right, let's look at the team that your boys just really beat down. The Bills go to Houston to take on the Texans. This is a pretty interesting game.
It is an interesting game, and I think you know, I know we called a couple upsets last week. This is another one where I actually think the Texans are going to pull this one off. So I'm gonna go with the underdog on this one. The Bills. So for one, I think the Bills have got to show, after coming up and getting embarrassed the way that they did last week, you know, this is going to be a game where they're going to have to show what kind of heart they have. I also just think that C.J. Stroud is just in a groove right now. And the other key factor for me is if Mixon is back, and it looks like he's going to play, but if he's back, that adds a whole nother dynamic, of what that means and what it's going to mean for them going forward. And so, you know, the injury report on this one is going to be one that I am going to watch closely, because I do think in this game, of all the games this week, the injury report could really help to determine what happens on this one. But I do think that the home team will stand strong here and pull this one out. I think the Texans beat the Bills.
Yeah, Mixon's a huge part of that Houston rushing attack. He I believe he's missed practice both days this week with that ankle. But, dude, if he goes today, generally if they go Friday, you're good to go. And they're just
resting it,
especially with a sprained ankle. So that's going to be an interesting one. I kind of like that, though, because I think the Bills have become this sweetheart road favorite, and Houston's still pretty damn good.
Yes. They are, I'm telling you. And they have the – and when you look at how they've just played very, very consistently – throughout, you know, they are just showing that they're going to be a legit team. Are they a top tier team just yet? I don't know, but they are legit. And so, you know, I think that they are, you know, they understand the importance of winning this game this week as well.
All right. Two teams that everybody involved in this conversation hates. Cowboys going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Obviously that Pittsburgh defense has been very good.
Whew. You ain't never lied. These are two of the most hated teams in our region. But I don't think there is a winner coming out of this one. But I think the Steelers will win the game. And listen, I mean, the Cowboys just have some real issues they got to figure out. And the level of inconsistency that you continue to see on this team is just, it's absolutely staggering. And the one thing I will say about these, you know, these Steelers is, you know, going off of a brand new quarterback competition when you had, you know, both Russell Wilson and also Justin Fields, and seeing how Fields has just really stepped up. Like he's playing like he's got something to prove right now, which is actually really exciting to see. So, you know, so even though from a division perspective, I would love for the Steelers to lose because that helps out my Ravens. But at the same time, I think the Steelers beat the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys spiraling just continues.
We'll take that.
I don't mind seeing that. Hey, Gov, real quick, I'm curious. We got two more left, but the Davante Adams trade talk is really heating up. One of the places that's been mentioned is Pittsburgh. Brian and I both kind of think he lands with the Jets. What do you make of Davante Adams and trying to get out of Vegas again now?
Listen, I think it's great, and frankly, I know one of the places that I hope it gets mentioned more is the Ravens. I think he's. I mean,
he wants it all, Gov. Everybody
become
like
free.
Decisively, I like winning decisively, but I mean, like no, like he is one of the players. Definitely one of the players that at least we know is on the market that is a game changer. Right, I mean, like literally, you have to design game plans around him, and so you know. So listen, if he ends up with the Jets, I think it'll be a big deal. I think the Jets need some kind of infusion right now of energy and talent. But you know, we'll see where he ends up. But I do honestly hope that the Ravens end up in this conversation as well.
Wow, I think it's a predetermined. I'm only going to the Jets. Figure it out, kind of thing. But we'll see.
Back to the picks.
We've seen
that before too, and we see how a whole lot of stuff gets changed in the 11th hour.
Sure, man, for sure. An interesting game because New Orleans started so hot. Now they've lost a couple. Saints going to the Chiefs. The Chiefs must be the most under the radar back to back Super Bowl champion 4-0 team in history.
It's just haters, man.
But you know what though? That's the Chiefs story every year. Every year, people are like, oh, wait a second. They had a pretty good year, didn't they? Because they're not coming out and blowing folks out. They're not, you know, they're not doing all the things that even as they used to do. They just know how to win. And I agree with you. This is one of these sneaky games because the Saints literally came out as, like, the best team in football going into week three and then, you know, have cooled down. I also just know that, as we've learned from personal experience in week one, Arrowhead is just it's a tough place to play, and the Chiefs are a tough team to play. So I do like the Saints. I think that this you know rejuvenation of the Saints is real. But I think that the Chiefs pull this one out.
All right, you know how we're going to end this thing. The Cleveland Browns coming to Northwest Stadium Sunday 1:00. Weather's supposed to be beautiful. Governor, will you be there? I know you're a busy man. You got a lot going on.
I think I'm going to be there for only a little bit. My son has got a game.
Oh,
so,
awesome!
So I got to check out his game. That's my guy. He's playing well too. He's on his travel baseball team.
What position?
First base.
All right.
First base. Well, yes, he's trying to be the new first baseman for the Baltimore Orioles.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but now that you have said the word, that was a pretty tough two games. A playoff run for the Birds.
It's tough to even call it a playoff run.
Yeah.
You were there for two games.
They scored a run.
And you scored a run. You scored a run in 18 innings. I mean, like, and, you know, and it's wild because, you know, I think the biggest question that a lot of people had about our O's going in was always about our pitching and the inconsistency of our pitching. But the truth is that our pitching stepped up in those two games. I mean, you literally, you know, literally gave up three runs, but you scored one. I mean, you can't do that. You can't. The bats can't go cold like that.
I think there's
a lot of soul searching that has to go on.
Yeah, man. I wonder. Honestly, the last 6 weeks of the season, they were just playing bad baseball, and
that's right.
It was really frustrating. What is not frustrating is watching Jaden Daniels right now. He's
unbelievable.
He's unlike any rookie we've seen in some time. What do you make Commanders with a real chance to make a statement and get to 4-1, but a interesting at least Cleveland team coming to town?
Cleveland's gonna get beat.
I like that enthusiasm.
I mean, like, it's going to be, Cleveland's going to get beat. And here's the thing. I mean, Jaden Daniels, I think of all the really impressive things and the really impressive numbers that we've seen, I actually think the most impressive thing about Jaden Daniels has been his completion rate. He's over 80% in completions. And when people say, well, you know, yeah, these are you know, he's averaging whatever it is, 8 yards a pass or 7 yards a pass, or these are screen pass. It's like, my point is, I don't care. What it means is that he's using good judgment, is that he's letting the game come to him, and it means that the game is moving slow. And the thing about rookies is oftentimes what they say about rookies is the game is too fast for them, that it takes a level of maturity, it takes a level of, you know, it takes getting some seasons under you when the game starts to slow down. When you have over an 80% completion rate, it means the game is already slow for you.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. And so I think he has all the natural raw skills that can make him a star in the league. And he obviously has just transitioned so smoothly because the game is already slow to him. I'm still deeply concerned about this secondary. I'm still deeply concerned about the amount of points that the Commanders are still allowing folks to put up. And having a great quarterback is one thing, but if you're going to be a championship contender, you need to have an all-around team that's ready to win, that's ready to compete. But I think definitely for this Sunday, it's going to be tough to see how the Commanders lose this game.
I think that place will be jumping
it's
too.
It's going to be rocking.
You know, the first opportunity kind of with since Jaden has had this explosion on the road the last 2 weeks. Now they come home. I think that will be an epic atmosphere. Gov, I think week 6 in Baltimore could be pretty darn cool too.
I'm telling you, that is going to be so wild. And you know what's really crazy is, and it's funny, you were talking about the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, I'm not a Mets fan, but I just like anybody that can beat the Yankees. And so, you know, so when you have those Subway Series, those are always fun. But for years, this has not been competitive. Right. For years, the Ravens versus the Commanders has not really been a thing because you haven't had two competitive teams. This year is going to be different. This year where you legitimately have, you know, not just two competitive teams, but you maybe have two of the most promising quarterbacks in the NFL on the same field at the same time.
Yes.
You know, and again, I'm cautious on putting Jaden Daniels in the Lamar Jackson category yet. Lamar Jackson is a two-time sure. League MVP. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So we have to be careful about putting him up there, putting him on that pedestal too quickly. However, you're talking about two of the most exciting quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
And they both play in your state.
Hey, come on now. Come on. I'm just saying, listen, you know, people are like, listen, since you've been the governor, the Orioles been winning, Orioles in the playoffs, the Commanders are winning, the Ravens, I'm just saying, you know, listen. It's just facts.
It's going to be we'll have to talk. We might need to block out an hour for you next week, Gov, if it's the 4-1.
Oh, man,
if it's the
4-1. No. We might just have to, in fact, we might have to do something like live. Oh. We need to actually do the pick live.
You let us know, sir.
You let us know.
Yeah. Gov, yeah, we might have to do that.
Thank you as always for your time. 12-9 through 4 weeks. Anybody that said anything else is clearly an idiot. I got you with Ravens, Texans, Steelers, Chiefs, Commanders.
We'll see. I don't want to get too excited. We'll see how I do after this week, though. We'll see what my record is then.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Good luck to your son on the baseball field.
Definitely.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate it.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore. Follow him on X at GovWesMoore. 12-9 through 4 weeks is better than Jeff's doing in the weekend parlay. Nobody go anywhere. Busy, busy day. Jeff's got a new song.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating, and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. So now's the time to switch to Rood. Take advantage of Rood's $2,000 tax credits. And Maryland residents, you can even score exclusive rebates from Rood. I personally switched my house over to Rood, and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rood.com to find your savings. That's RUUD.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Landfill, you'll be shocked to know that I just got locked out of my Odyssey email account because I can't remember my password. Shout out to all the IT people out there convincing the world you got to change your password every 2 days. These people can hack whatever they want. It has nothing to do with our passwords.
Yeah, but everybody else just keep their password somewhere and figure it out.
Bro, Something tells me J-Dogs are forever on this one. Jeff, how annoying is that? Back me up.
I think Jeff knows his password.
I know my password by heart.
Yeah, because you're always on Odyssey angling for a free mouse pad or whatever.
No.
What's up with the thank you points right now, Landfill? No. Where are we at? it's so exciting. We're very blessed to have this. I'm a grateful person now, Brian. We're very blessed to have this opportunity to change our password all the time, mm-hmm. Landfill. That's how I approach it. All right, we didn't really get to get into that Thursday night game. The Bucks blew it. That fumble late by Bucky Irving, who's a really good player, but you can't put the ball on the ground in that situation.
No, you can't. No matter if you're a rookie or not. And what's his name? Cool?
He was lucky. Kicker?
He was lucky.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you missed those two early back-to-back, then you got one blocked. The block one was low and looked like it was going right anyway.
How about when he missed them back-to-back? They got bailed out, and it was the same miss.
Yes.
That was crazy.
And then the next one, the way he was lined up, I'm like, where is he kicking this ball? And then when he kicked it, and it just started to like be like a fade.
Yeah.
I think it was going to miss. He was going to miss that one, too. It just happened to be blocked.
It did come out low.
It came out low as hell.
But what was crazy is, I mean, if
you— Then he went to work.
If you're Tampa, you are just furious with how this thing went down. I just...
What defense they were playing? They were playing drop back and let them set up.
Dude,
they didn't blitz.
And Bowles is so aggressive by nature. And then late in that game, you didn't do any of it.
Kirk had 220 yards in the first half.
Well, the Twitter was going crazy that Kirk kind of struggles. Kirk's a good quarterback, clearly.
Yeah.
Against man, he generally has more trouble than he does against zone.
Yes.
And they played exclusively zone.
And he picked their asses apart.
Totally. It was...
He was on one. And when you have 220 in the first half, you go, oh, he's having a day. He had more than that after he came out of the locker room. He had 509 yards passing.
Right. I mean, have you ever been in a game where somebody went for 500?
I saw somebody go for damn near 500 against us.
Who's that?
Was it Boomer Esiason? Not Boomer.
Again, when he was with the Jets?
The Cardinals. Look, it was a quarterback.
It could have been Boomer. He was on the Cardinals.
With the Cardinals, and then the next week they benched him because they claimed something was wrong, but he had a clause in his contract if he just took a snap the next week. He got paid like $1 million, and the NFLPA came in. He got his money, but he did it against us.
Listen to this, dude. Now, granted, some of this is Harbaugh's running the show out there, and they're running the football a ton. Kirk threw for 509 last night, right? 509 is just nuts. Justin Herbert on the season, and he's missed a little bit of time, I think, has 539. Hell, what does Jaden have on the year, passing-wise?
About 700, 800, something like that.
You think it's that much?
Yeah. He had over 200 twice.
897.
Right, yeah.
That is remarkable from Kirk last night. There's also we all have to address something. The notion of primetime Kirk is antiquated. He's actually pretty good on primetime. They're 2-1. For whatever reason, the Falcons are on primetime every night, it seems. They're 2-1 so far this year. Mm-hmm. They beat the Eagles, beat the Bucks last night. They did lose to the Chiefs in kind of questionable fashion late in that thing. Kirk's records now that he's starting to put up numbers-wise.
He's putting up numbers, but he's going to have to win a big game. I mean, we can sit up here and talk about regular season games all we want. Quarterbacks are not judged by regular season. They're judged by playoffs. And in the playoffs, he's not good.
Yeah. That's where it's at.
So there are a lot of people with gaudy numbers, but in crunch time, they don't make it happen. Thursday night football is not going to make him a hero.
Yeah, no. Do you remember when Stafford won the Super Bowl for the Rams a couple years back? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, Matt Stafford, you got to think about the Hall of Fame for him. And I just didn't.
Once you win a Super Bowl, they start talking about that.
Right. But Stafford's a really good player. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But the numbers eventually will prove. compared to what has constituted getting into the Hall of Fame.
If you win playoff games
so
in a Super Bowl,
now.
Yeah, they're skewed. But when you win, that's why I think playoff games and Super Bowls are far more a source to rely on than you just having big numbers throughout the regular season. Because they can't touch you. Everything is catered to the offense in this day and age.
But dude,
so they're going to have way more yards than the guys in the past.
Kirk's career numbers, 40,000 passing yards, mm-hmm. 278 touchdowns to 115 picks.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. He had tons of yards here too, and he was they didn't like him here.
I can say that.
But still, fans were frustrated too because he couldn't do the big stuff. And I think ultimately he's gonna have those numbers. I mean, you see
he dropped a you like that in the locker room last night.
Like you see like guys, we'll talk about nobody not passing over 3,000 yards, things of that nature, back in the day because it was an all around game. Today it's just a passing game, right. So they're gonna have gaudy numbers.
Here's a number where Kirk is damn near undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what his career earnings to date are?
Probably about $400 million.
$300 million. $294 million.
All right. Well,
he's
getting it done. And like, see, that's the thing about it. Like the whole thing about football in this day and age, the winning comes second to the stats.
I don't think. I think that's what separates Mahomes is that the winning is
he wins,
and I think Brady too.
They put up the numbers,
the best,
and then they win.
The but best saying, are the winners because Mahomes.
Everybody
numbers,
else get paid just because of a certain stat. If you get over 4,000 yard passing, you're gonna make some money.
Yeah, I mean the money. I don't think you can get too caught up in the money in pro sports because it's just so massive that I think fans at times start to resent it. Like I you know, if you look at the NBA and you got. Got the seventh man on a roster is making 14
million. Yeah, but it's not resenting the money. It's we look at, oh, he had 500 yards passing the game. They won the game. It's a regular season game on Thursday night, week 5. I care less. I want to know what he does on the first week of a playoff game when he plays in the Super Bowl.
What do you think of Baker? I thought Baker was pretty good.
Baker was it was good. And I mean, he was more efficient because – at one point, Baker had 3 touchdowns. Kirk had 3. Kirk had thrown the ball 47 times. Baker had thrown it like 18 times.
Baker was super efficient. Like
that's what I'm saying.
19 of 24 for a 180 with 3 touchdowns. Whereas Kirk was 42 of 58, 509, 4 touchdowns.
And what you told me to say, if you throw the ball that many times, you're not going to win many games.
Sure. I think Tampa blew that thing, man. Oh, let's do our was it a choke test. Did Tampa choke last night? That's a hell yes for me, Jeffrey.
I mean, you are playing very well. You play extremely well on the defense to get in that position. And then you get the ball, you fumble it.
They didn't play well defensively. They made plays at times.
They played well on the drives prior to stop it. And then they get the ball back. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what the offensive coordinator was doing, but he just immediately, he was killing them inside the tackles. Now he decided, okay, I'm going to try this little off-the-edge thing. And they lost yardage in the first.
B's attacking. Good morning to the folks on the stream. Hope you weren't enjoying watching Brian because he just knocked his camera over. Yeah, dude, I was happy for the young man that scored the game-tying touchdown there late.
Been in the league 7 years.
Or the game-winning touchdown, pardon me, Hodge. You could tell how emotional he was in that interview afterwards.
He did. He jumped on the fumble last week.
Right.
Then he scores one this week.
I thought that was really, really cool. Jeffrey, did the Bucs choke it away last night?
Yes, they did.
Correct. Landini, choke. That was choke city, man. There were some really curious decisions. Todd Bowles had one of the worst challenges I'd ever seen when he challenged the Kirk grounding call.
Yeah.
Who or what? What?
Somebody didn't tell him something because you could see him throw the ball.
and Atlanta recovered the fumble. So, like, even if you win the challenge and they rule it a fumble, Atlanta recovered it.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to accomplish there? It worked out for him. I do not understand Atlanta going for that. Where Kirk threw the pick, 4th-and-15, deep in your own territory with 3 timeouts. Punt. You ended up using your timeouts to get the ball back because you got the sack there, but that was bizarre to me. It was a fun, entertaining game. The under did not get home whatsoever.
Who would bet the under?
I had a few people asking me that. My boy KB asked me that. He's like, you took the under, Kirk versus Baker? I sure damn did, KB. Let's go through the injuries for the Commanders next. All right, Landfill. Only two NFL teams have a longer win streak than the Washington Commanders. Who are they?
The Chiefs and Vikings?
Correct. I think the Vikes lose Sunday in London to the Jets. Brian, let's talk about something, because it's now 2 days. He joined us on the radio yesterday, but Brian Robinson hasn't practiced this week.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he is a key cog in this offensive attack. You know, you lose Eckler last week,
yep,
and it looks like he's coming back, which is good news. You lose Eckler last week, McNichols is able to step in that role. I don't know that they have somebody that could step in for B-Rob. I don't know that somebody's going to need to. But he has a different role than kind of the Eckler McNichols.
He has a different role than Eccles and McNichols, but I think Eckler and McNichols can be a viable combination if B-Rob can't go. But then again, you have Chris Rodriguez on the team as well.
I wonder if he would get a call, because he has a little more of that thumb.
Wasn't he up last week?
I thought he was up last week.
Because
Eckler was still on the roster, so.
No, I'm not saying on the roster. I'm just saying I thought he was called up for the game. I saw him out on the field.
Yeah, I have the inactives here. Yeah, I think he was. I think he was up, but not active, if that makes sense.
No.
I'm looking right now. Commanders, so the inactives were Hartman, Forrest, Eckler, Hampton. Yeah, so he had to be up there.
Yeah.
Paul Crowder, Farrell.
They got that guy right there. So that's if Eckler and McNichols are healthy, and you got Chris Rodd, I think you can go with that. But I think B-Rod's playing.
I do, too.
I think he practices today, and that'll tell you he's going to be playing.
I think the Robinson stuff is interesting. Allegretti was limited yesterday. You concerned about him coming off the ankle stuff going into this Cleveland game?
He practiced some yesterday. He goes some more today. By the time he gets to Sunday, he'll be feeling fantastic.
Noah Brown,
mm-hmm.
I talked to him in the locker room Wednesday, and he's not, I don't know the right way to, he's a perfectly pleasant guy. He's just not like, you don't have long conversations with Noah.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I didn't think anything of it, but it was short, and he was kind of hustling to treatment, it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, didn't practice. It's weird to go Wednesday limited, Thursday DMP.
Mm-hmm.
Level of concern there.
I'm not concerned. I mean, nicks happen all the time, and in this day and age, coaches see and they let guys rest for a day. That wasn't a thing in my day. You don't practice no matter what. They don't practice all the time now, so it's kind of hard for me to get really concerned when guys just, they get these days off all the time.
Yeah. Normally Wednesday would be your day off. And then you ramp up from there. But something to watch for today, Noah
but
Brown.
In this day and age, Jay, people get all kinds of days off. Ain't nothing consistent. So I don't get too worried about things until Sunday when I see that inactive list. It's
sure.
When I'm really concerned.
Some good news. Farrell's missed the last two games. He was a DMP Wednesday, gets bumped up to limited yesterday. Tyler Owens, DMP on Wednesday, limited yesterday. Eckler was a full participant. I think he technically has to get cleared out of the protocol. Mm-hmm. I would expect that to happen probably today, honestly.
The way that they talk about it seems very, very sure that he will be.
I agree with that. The way he's talked about it seems very, very sure that he will be. Three guys that they opened their IR window. Now, you get 3 weeks on this,
mm-hmm.
but the three guys they've done it with, and it was two IR, one pup, because Obata was on the pup. But McGee, Mariota, and Obata have all been full participants
mm-hmm.
through 2 days of practice. They have 52 on the roster. You think you could see who do you think makes the most sense to add, and do you think we could see them as soon as this week?
I think Obata or McGee. I think you're looking at Mariota. I think they're very, very comfortable with Driscoll. Hartman is there just as an insurance policy. And Mariota, once he comes off, Hartman's goes back to the practice squad. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's an easy move for him, but I think it's going to be either Obata or McGee.
Who would you pick of the two? For me, I think it'd be McGee. There was a lot of excitement about him.
There's a lot of excitement
during
camp. But like the thing about Obata, like you mentioned yesterday, he plays multiple roles.
Yep.
He could be inside or outside, and depending on what they need. Like the thing I listen to Joe with, and I totally agree with him. You go per week based off of who you gonna have out there.
Did you? I tweeted that out last night, and we talked about it on the show too. I loved his response to a question about playing time for, I think it was Jamin specifically was the question, but he just kind of answered it more broadly. And kind of
that's a question that I think is getting on his damn nerves.
Yeah.
And it keeps getting asked. But the thing of it is, like, the people that keep asking, I might ask those people that question. Why do you feel he has to be on the field every time? What has he done to say he deserves to be on the field
and
all the
time? So here was the bite from Joe Witt. He was asked about Jamin Davis getting more, what he needs to see from Jamin to get more reps. And this is, I'm going to read the response. Yeah, so we could talk about reps of all the guys. Guys, I promise you, we're going to do what we feel is the best to give us a chance to win. We have quality players and Forbes and Jamin and Forbes. Each week is going to be different. And I can't get up here each week and say why a guy isn't playing. The answer is we're going to play the guys that give us the best chance to win that particular game, win or lose. If we lose it, and then I'll take the questions if we lose it or not. But that's what we're doing. We're going to do that each week, and there's nothing at a slight at any of the players because we like all of our players, but we're going to put the guys in a position that we think will give us the best chance to win that individual game.
Yeah, I think another saying they said was, like, everybody's a starter. So, in other words, he's telling you, if this guy fits this scheme better this week to stop something, we're going to play. If he doesn't, he's not.
But consider, like, basically that question exists because Jamin was a first-rounder, right? And people are obsessed with the combine and athletic profiles, and they're convinced that
but he was a first-rounder that many people questioned and was on his way out, many people thought, in training camp.
Right.
But he ended up doing something to make a team, which means he changed his whole position. But I would ask the question, what has he done consistently so well that the question keep getting asked that you feel he got to be on the field?
Dude, to that point, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do, right? Since this organization has taken over, since Peters, Quinn, Witt, all of these guys have taken over, here's what they've done. And eliminate the name and the draft position and just listen to what they've done at that position. They decided not to pick up a rookie option year.
Mm-hmm.
They signed three other veterans that play the same position.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that was the case, and we're talking about a third or fifth rounder, nobody would be surprised that there's not a lot of playing time. Like,
But ultimately, the people that are asking the questions about Jamin are the same people that knew he wasn't playing well prior. So why now? It's like we act like what's my man in Dallas, Micah Parsons. We act like Micah Parsons is not playing this week, and it's healthy, and he's still healthy. He hadn't been Micah Parsons.
Here's what we're going to do. The Commanders host the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, 1 o'clock. You might even still be able to get tickets. Check out commanders.com. I think that place is going to be jumping. The Commanders are 3-point favorites, 3.5, depending where you're shopping. A lot of Commanders fans are – you heard Governor Moore earlier in the hour tell us Cleveland's going to get beat. Jeff Walker confidently taking the Commanders in our weekend parlay. I think a lot of fans feel like, yo, we're going to show the NFL just how good Washington is. This is going to be a win, and then we're headed to Baltimore for a massive game, right? This offense has dropped 42 last week, 38 the week before that. Mm-hmm. This offense is humming. Jaden Daniels is the talk of the NFL. Wherever you look, they're talking about Jaden. How confident are you? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Phone lines open now.